Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Good evening, Solution.
How are you feeling? You any better?
Oh, look, I'm still battling a bit, I'm not going to lie. How are you? How's your sniffle?
No, I'm much better because I stayed home Sunday. So, it helped me recover. You still sound like you could be on a cast member of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah. These days, I tell you what, it takes longer and longer to get over a bit of an illness, doesn't it?
I think it's called age. But anyway.
Stay home with your hot chocolate. Like that's the give off, right? That's the exchange.
Right. Embrace it. Embrace it.
Okay, righto.
So this is Fiona's Forecast, episode 13.
Wowza.
And yeah, we're a teenager. And this is the game, man. This is the game I want to win so badly.
Question is this above Anzac Day for you? Which one? If I had to say to you at the start of the year, I can give you one guaranteed win. Are you going Anzac Day or are you going versus the Blues the one time you play them?
Easy, Carlton. Easy.
Ah, okay, so this is big.
What are you doing?
I'm the same. Yeah, same. Carlton.
I reckon even though Essendon and Collingwood have a rivalry, I've said this before, I think there's a mutual respect.
Mm.
Kind of came out of Anzac Day a little bit.
For me it is, yeah. For me it's Anzac, the whole Anzac Day, because for me I see it the football second to that day, and then I associate Collingwood with that day. So for me, Collingwood takes a back step a little bit.
Yeah. And also, I'll die on this hill. I think Carlton supporters are the worst in the league. Mm. They're worse than Collingwood.
Mm, mm. Mm-hmm. Although I must say, I did see some beauties flowing around from last weekend. Who would have thought they've got five supporters and the bloody North Melbourne supporters are so bloody yippy? Yeah, granted, they came within a goal, but all right, just settle down. You're still sitting 17th.
Well,
and your coach is in on, you know, racism investigation. Like, I wouldn't be getting too chirpy, but yes, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, just pausing on the North supporters, they've gone very quiet in recent months after all that noise pre-season.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, they opened the box a little bit, but back in your box, Kangaroo supporters. But as for Carlton, yeah, I really badly want to win this week. So we've got the changes. We're going to do the smoking Joe, the sitting Joe, or throw a wild card and going directly to the changes. Now, it's an extended bench, obviously, because we're playing weirdly on a Sunday night. Is this the first Sunday evening game?
It is.
Ever?
It is the debut of this King's birthday Eve round that they're trialling. As much as opposition fans want to have a sook, but Essendon and Carlton are trying to make it into a clash and trying to make it into something big. So opposition fans can just go sook it up and cry, oh, Essendon gets another marquee game. Well, get off your ass and create one, dickheads.
That's right.
Argument. Don't sook. Get up and be creative and innovative. Get inspired by something. Anyway.
The Kangaroos have done it on Good Friday.
Exactly.
No one gives a fuck about their game.
Correct. That they are, if anyone can do it, like that just shows anyone can do it. You can get, there are so many causes. There are so many amazing causes that you could get on top of. There is a whole deaf and blind community who love their AFL football, who you could make around. There are kids who are deaf and blind learning to play AFL football with those ailments. You could make a whole round against that. There's no lack of.
Or the ones who are deaf and blind, you could have like Helen Keller around.
Absolutely. There are just so many.
I've got a cousin who's blind, and I've played blind cricket. It's good bloody fun, by the way. I must admit, I do struggle. I struggle with the country game. There's nothing country about Essendon. Like, you can't tell me there's anything in relation to the Essendon area is remotely remotely country. But anyway.
Being born and bred in Essendon.
Yeah.
You are correct. Yeah. I have I feel no chemistry to that game, but I'm all for it. I'm all for being innovative and trying something, and that's what I say to other clubs, and they should get on top because there are so many causes, worthwhile causes, that don't get spotlight, like, you know, cancer and MND and other worthwhile causes. So anyway, that was a very big side venture.
Agreed. All right, so the chichester changes, extended bench was going to be my point, but there's one headline.
Go on.
Well, I had a glass of red.
Tonight. You really should have done a song. I think there should have been a song.
About the redheaded, the big ginger man. He's back. So Peter Wright, we've waited until round 13. When he was injured, I thought it was season over, by the way. And our Susan is alive and kicking. And we get him just before the bye. What a great time to come in, play a game. So we'll talk about him in a second. Then on the extended bench, well, coming in is also Brian Kelly and Wanganeen, all of whom have been named on the extended bench, right straight into the team, and Shield out injured. What are your thoughts on Shield? Have we mismanaged that a little bit, do you think?
Well, I believe from discussions I've had is that Brad Scott did the right thing, like he's done all year, and he didn't bring him in when he was for the West Coast game, even though Shealy was like, I could probably go, but he kept him out again. Now, with your older players, your more senior players, you give a bit more leniency when they tell you that they're right.
Yeah.
Rather than your younger players and your a bit more inexperienced players. So I believe that Shield felt right. I believe he believed he was right. And Brad Scott, after saying no to him against West Coast, had no reason, I guess, to not say no, but to take his word. And I just feel that he probably shouldn't have put his hand up 100% for it.
You do wonder whether this is one of those ones where they're sort of trying to decide whether they bandage it, and just try and keep him going, or do they actually address the problem? And maybe addressing the problem could be something significant like surgery.
And is that his ear?
Yeah, potentially.
I mean, I'm still not quite clear on what the hell it is, to be quite fair with you. Is it a foot? Is it an ankle? Is it a calf?
This is one thing about Essendon this year that has been pretty noteworthy is how little we're giving around injuries and how little we're hearing about players. Like, we're just not...
Actually, all clubs.
We're not hearing.
There's a guy from Geelong who every week he posts a screenshot of that injury list thing that Essendon posted. Well, but Geelong, every club does it. And he goes, another round of Geelong fuckery. And he posts the thing because they don't even put weeks next to it. It's very blasé. It's very subtle. There's no detail. So I just want to back Essendon there and say it's not just Essendon.
And I don't have a problem with it. Like, whatever's going to, if they think it's going to give us a 0.001 percentage advantage, why not? Yeah. Well, just why give information that you don't need to give out into the public?
That's a good point.
Keep the opposition guessing.
That's a good point.
But, yeah. I guess all will be revealed. Now, interestingly, so right in, as I said, Brian Kelly and Wanganeen. So going through them, do you think, so Brian and Phillips are named on the bench? Who are you going with out of those two? Or are you neither?
Neither.
You're going DEFCON 5 on our second ruck?
Yep, because I just feel like having Phillips and Wright and Wiedemann is too tall, is too big.
Sure. Haven't we gone from, like, midgets to... Yeah, I'm with you. I said last week, I think Wright should... pinch hit. And right Draper, and a bit more.
Both Wright and Wiedemann can both pinch hit with Draper.
Yeah.
If either of them are having a quietish game, you know. But no, I just don't know how Brad. This is Brad's first test, so I don't know how Brad's going to see it.
So if neither of them play, then that leaves Snelling, Kelly, Hind, and Wanganeen. Oh, I'm surprised Wanganeen came in only because
Nice to see him included.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I see his name there. I thought Waller might have given his performance in the VFL. And I thought that Davey might have been closer, but
apparently Tex had a wonderful game in the VFL. Wonderful game. As did Waller, of course. But reading between, I don't know if you caught up on Brad's press conference today, but reading between his lines, he specified that Waller feels in himself that he needs to get fitter because he's just not feeling it. So, which was great. Brad said he was really impressed. It was all Waller driven. It wasn't like the club, you know, giving him directions. It was coming from him saying, I don't feel fit myself. So that was really positive to hear. But apparently Tex had a great game. So I'd be really open to dropping Snelling and seeing Tex. Snelling out, Tex in.
Yeah, well, it's good. It's good to see.
But that's a bit young, very young forward line then.
Well, it's a young team, as we spoke about last week. Mm-hmm. And then...
And King Kelly's got to come in somewhere, sorry. I don't care who you're taking out, but you take someone out for it. Hind.
Yeah.
And then
Shuffle. You're probably right. But... am I right in saying Menzies hasn't been named in the 22?
Yeah, they're all the only one who's officially out is Scheel. So everyone else is.
And D'Ambrosio is also part of that extended.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, there'll be definitely one in, which we can assume now is right for Scheel. Mm. And then that might be the only change. They might shuffle accordingly and keep Phillips.
Yeah, potentially.
But we know Brad likes. Little change, so
true. Okay, and Carlton have named everyone, haven't they?
I feel like Voss is just pulling all the punches. He's got pressure coming from out of his eyeballs from all over to win this game.
This really worries me. We'll get to the predictions later. But all right, we're going to talk. Smoking Joe and Sitting Joe. So for new listeners, obviously the Smoking Joe, after Joe Smoking Macedi, is going to be the guy who raises his level. The Sitting Joe, after Judas Danaher, is the guy who we probably wish had have sat out the game because he's gone down a level. Now, who are you doing it?
I've got the...
This time?
Sitting Joe. You got the Smoking.
I got the Smoking. All right, Smoking Joe. All right, this is going to be a very, very important position this week. And this guy is going to bounce back and really step up. I'm going BCT.
Yes!
Go for the Smoking Joe. I reckon he's going to turn his form around. And, yeah. Play a really good job, kind of command his position, do a lot of spoils, a lot of gadget.
Who do we want him up against? And so Laverty will get the other one. So I reckon maybe Laverty on Mackay, just because Charlie Curnow to me is a bit more athletic, and I think Zerk is a bit more athletic, can run with him. So maybe Zerk on Curnow.
And also, Harry, Zerk is in theory the better defender.
Yeah.
And Harry will kick 8 points. You know, he'll kick a 1-7 or 1-8.
Is this the week he kicks 8 goals 1?
Listeners right now wouldn't see if Fiona was actually putting her hands together in a prayer. I think Zerk, he's going to be my Smoking Joe. He's going to turn it around. He's going to get back to the form of a month ago, and he's going to have a great game and captain the back line. And everyone's going to grow taller around him, and we're going to have a lot of rebound this game. Guys like Ridley and McGrath and Redmond are going to have a ball in just bringing it out of defence. So that's my smoke and Joe.
Nice. I thought you were going to go with another redemption, going to redeem himself. I thought you were going to go with my guy again after last week when you started to say, oh, I'm going with someone. Anyway, let's not go. Let's not get into that hill that I am prepared to die on. Sitting Joe.
Yes. Who are you going to curse? Now, this is the problem: is you've been right so often in the last month.
Yeah, that's
that
not
the
good
sitting thing. Joe. Sitting Joe. Yeah. I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
The sitting Joe that you nominate may as well go out on a bender Saturday night because there's going to be nothing they can do. It's preordained.
So in that case, I'm trying to think who do I care least to have there's no one. Everyone in this team plays system based, and it's that they all play well. Solution.
Correct. That's why this is such a curse.
All right. Look, I'm going to say. I'm going to probably say, I think, Hobbs, the little gremlin. Goblin, is that what they call him? Sorry, not gremlin, goblin they call him. Hobbsy.
Why do they call him the goblin?
Because he's a bit goblin looking, don't you reckon? And he's little.
That's not a compliment.
It's not. But I don't know. I think that's why. I can't be sure. I'll get clarification, actually, on that. But yeah, I don't know why. I'm just going to go Hobbsy. Sorry, darling. But
sure, it's not because he likes Goblin. But anyway, move on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we could probably we could probably absorb an average game from him. I think it's not a bad pick.
Yeah. This is my thinking too. Given that Caldwell is just reaching like new heights for mine. And he's slotted in beautifully there. And Martin,
by the way,
other level.
Martin's form. Notice how he's getting a lot of media attention now.
Yeah, great. Thanks. No, but good. He deserves an All-Australian jumper. He's in elite form.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's been enormous. Yeah. So this is a little bit of opening the kimono for listeners who wouldn't have known this. Both Fiona and I forgot today was Thursday.
Oh.
Now, I'm looking at my phone, looking at the teams. Did you know there was footy tonight?
Yeah, I'm watching it.
I had no fucking idea.
I only realised because I got onto Twitter and looked and people are saying, talking about Buddy's 350th and I'm thinking, what the hell? And then I realised it was tonight because all day I've been saying in emails that it's Wednesday today. So there you go.
And so if Sydney do the right thing and win, and they're winning at the moment, now this is all – I shouldn't have gone down this path because by the time people are listening to this, the decision's done.
But hit me, yeah.
This is a big game.
Oh,
and so we're moving to our game and the prediction. Yeah. I mean, the Essendon-Carlton game is a big game because if Sydney can win, I mean, there's another team we can leapfrog.
Where's Sydney sitting on the ladder?
Sydney.
Oh, so they can't leapfrog us, though, if they win?
They're currently 12th.
Okay.
Mind you, we're like months away from really.
Yeah, we know, but we're just having fun. Yeah.
You can't help. That's right. But St Kilda are ahead of us on percentage with 28 wins.
The same point.
And one game less.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's consequences to this game tonight, anyway.
Interesting. Very interesting. So are you still on your – you still feeling al confidente?
Well, so going back to the podcast last week, you predicted Fiona Carlton for win.
Yeah.
I I'm feeling fairly confident. Yeah.
Really?
And we've got, in theory, three of our first picked midfielders in Parrish, Settlefield, arguably Settlefield and Scheel out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge blow. And Carlton have no injuries, really. Who's injured from Carlton?
Zach Williams, their $850,000 a year halfback flanker. Who else are they missing? No stars, put it that way. No elite stars.
Yeah, there's no one. There's guys that are arguably on the fringes. Arguably,
yeah, fringe players.
But I'm very, very annoyed with the fact that Carlton have had basically 9 days since they played by the time this game comes around, which again...
Can I just interrupt on that? Sometimes that's worse, especially in their predicament. They've had 9 days to stew. They've had 9 days of barrage from the media. They've had 9 days to sit in that muck. So I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing this week.
Potentially. I mean, they are under the pump and you can definitely go one of two ways. And already the Carlton-Essendon game carries a certain amount of pressure and gravitas, and it's important. And the fans view it as important. But Carlton will know, and to your point earlier about Michael Voss and the pressure he's under, if they were to lose, he'll be under enormous pressure, I think. Because A, it'll almost be season over for them.
Tank. And B, yeah, how's that tank?
Yep, and B, they're losing to us. Like, yeah. That's not what they want. So there's going to be huge pressure. And the last time I tried to curse somebody's kicking, it was Joe Danaher against Essendon. And we know what happened there. That backfired completely. So I'm not going to predict it officially. But if they were to miss a couple of shots for goal early,
yep.
And if we continue our kicking for goal, which has been enormous,
beautiful,
then yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling really confident. I'm going for a 20-point win, and I think it's going to be relatively comfortable in the context of a big Carlton Essendon MCG game.
Oh, you have no idea how much I want you to be right.
So are you still feeling...
Can I just say before I do my prediction, what are the chances that one Adam Saad is going to be at a fourth club next year? I thought Adam Saad left for culture. He left to play finals. Now, this week on Footy Classified, Mr. Know-it-all about Carlton, everything because he lives, breathes and eats it, Sam McClure, reported of infighting between players because they're not happy with how things are at the club. Mm. If they lose this week, they're out of finals. But didn't Adam Saad leave for a bit of culture and for finals? What am I missing, Solution? Please help me put the puzzle pieces together.
Maybe he was referring to the dirty fridge. Maybe the culture's there. I don't know.
That is some sweet, sweet karma juice. That's all I can say. And now I shouldn't say this, but no Carlton people listen to this podcast, so I can say whatever the fuck I want, really. But I tell you what, when I heard
that. Only Jez. Jez is the only Carlton fan.
Yeah, he said to me he'll be there Saturday night, and I said, with what colour scarf on?
Sorry, I interrupted you.
When I heard about the infighting between the players and the tension that is mounting in the locker room, I thought, but hang on a minute. That's why Saad left. So what are the chances he's at a fourth club next year? High chance.
Isn't it a case of sooner or later you got to ask, is it actually him?
Yes, correct. And when do you get to that point where you question whether it's the actual player and what they're actually made of, you know? Anyway, I digress. Yeah. Look, let me say, before the big ginger giant was named today, even though I said on the podcast on Sunday that he would be named in, I predicted, I think, 13 points, I think, loss to Essendon. By Monday, Tuesday, maybe, I was at a 44-point loss to Essendon. 44, maybe 50 points. Carlton,
what? Really?
Yep. Carlton, they're going to come out and they're going to kill us, and this is going to be their line in the sand game type thing to get their season back on track. But now that the ginger giant is back in and I'm feeling excited, and I'm going back down to about a 20-point loss. I still feel like we'll lose.
Yeah, that's interesting. See, I reckon, and again, this is really unusual. I'm normally the negative Nelly.
You are.
Carlton had just found ways to lose recently, and last year as well. But under Voss, they find ways to lose in general. We've started to demonstrate this way to find ways to win recently. I think both the Richmond and the North game, even though North aren't a great team, and we understand that, and you know we weren't great. We spoke about it on the podcast. Like maybe 10 minutes of decent footy in the second half got us over the line, but we found a way to win. And I think for this young team, it's they'll be going in confident, but not cocky because they weren't great last week. They'll be buoyed by Peter Wright. He'll help us with the structure. I don't think we have to carry Phillips or Brian in this game. And we've been carrying Phillips. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, to your point weeks ago, maybe Draper's inability to run out of game has kind of meant we've needed to carry them. I think all these things are starting to come together. I think we'll go in confident. And actually, I think we might play the MCG better than Marvel as well.
The only reason I think I'm a little less confident is that I haven't quite loved our ball movement the last couple of weeks. We need to have a game ball movement specific, like we played against Melbourne. Now, I reckon what's gotten us wins, where we've found ways to win, is our defensive setup. A little bit of X factor from Stringer, from individual brilliance from players, but I haven't loved our ball movement. It's been patchy and it's been pulled apart quite a bit the last couple of weeks by West Coast and Kangaroos, and you could argue a bit Richmond. Now, we did find ways to win, but it didn't look great. And if we play, I guess I think if we play like we did against the Kangaroos, that won't beat Carlton. And if we play like we did against West Coast, that won't beat Carlton, in my eyes, because I think they'll come out raring to go.
But if it's a looks contest, we might have been a 5 out of 10 the last few weeks, but Carlton looked like a 2.
Yes, you're right. You're right. But why does it just feel like, but they'll come up against Essendon? They'll just find a way. Why do I feel like that?
And I'll tell you why, because that's actually been our truth. Like in recent seasons, again, it's a cliche, but it doesn't matter where the teams are on the ladder, Carlton do tend to raise their game. And given all the flack they've had, you would think they'd almost treat this like a final. And whether us having played, you know, many, many weeks, a number of weeks on the road, shorter weeks than our opponents again and again and again and again this coming Sunday, whether we're just a little bit flat is definitely a legitimate concern I share.
I was told that Brad
Scott... Hang on, is this breaking news?
Yep.
It's like this is...
It's actually a bit of breaking news.
Breaking news.
It's not quite Winsock 2000 on the spot breaking news. It's breaking news that I think... When was I told? I think... Tuesday or Monday, no, when they were back in the club. So Tuesday, that they reviewed the win against North Melbourne as a loss. Good. So Brad Scott made them review the win as a loss because he was apparently, I won't say unhappy, because you can't be unhappy with a win and finding a way, and was told he was particularly impressed with Jake Stringer, just absolutely loved what he did.
I love it.
Which is enormous, and you know how excited that makes us. But I was told, that he made every player review the game as it was, and the coaches as well, as if it was a loss, which is great.
I tell you what, he just strikes a chord, strikes the right chord every single time. And to take that approach to this game, I think it's perfect. This is a game before the bye.
Mm.
We should also equally treat it like a mini final. And it'll be huge for the team in the context of the season, in context of the ladder.
Yep.
To go in, you know, 8-5.
And you know, with all the little puzzle pieces starting to come together. So Big Ginger Man back this week, have a break after the bye. Darcy Parrish is back. There's another little piece of the puzzle. He'll be back for Fremantle, the first game back. So just little pieces of the puzzle coming, you know. I think the younger players are really needing the Hobbs, Caldwell, Archie, I think are really needing the break. So the bye is coming at the right time. Everyone's going to be fresher. So, you know, aside from Setterfield, the team is pretty much at its, and maybe Waller, at its strongest. So
we've done most of our travel now.
Have we? I haven't. I must
say. Well, I think we've got Fremantle and Sydney, Greater Western Sydney to go, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So I just think you're right. Like they could do worse than to treat it like a little mini final, knowing what going into the bye off a win as well does.
Mm. All right. So get your pens ready. Again, I don't think you haven't given a score yet, have you?
Yeah, I said so. I went from 13 to 44 to I'm going about 20 point loss.
20 point loss. All right. Yeah. I'm going a 20 point win.
Nice. Love it. All right. So one of us will be right, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Or who's nearest to the pin will be interesting.
Yeah. I hope it's you. I want to lose this. I want to lose this bad.
I reckon MCG's a bit bigger, a bit wider.
Yeah.
It's definitely wider than either Marvel or Optus Stadium. I think our chip kicking possession game will be a little bit more effective. And with Peter Wright as a target, you'll see Wiedemann be able to come up the ground a bit. I think it'll take him away from full forward and that pressure of goal kicking as well.
Can I also just say on my man here? Obviously, look, I'm adopting a third one. My scarf is not going to fit any more freaking badges.
Anyway. Hang on, who are the other two?
I'm not answering that. You should know that.
Well, there's Perkins and Kelly. Okay.
Yeah. But can I just tell you how the psyche works from a psychological point of view? So everyone was complaining.
You mean how your psyche?
No, how the psyche works of any individual. So this is the psychology part of the forecast, as we know, is also a segment sometimes.
Yep.
How the psyche works, that if you fear something, you will do everything to self-sabotage yourself from being put in a position where you have to do that. So Riedemann now...
Well, this is because how we evolved. So if you think there's a tiger around the corner that's going to eat you, you avoid going around the corner.
That's right.
That's the fear
of coming across the tiger. So Wiedemann has missed those three goals, even though he kicked two in that game. And you know why it's on his mind, because in the interview he did afterwards on the Essendon website, he mentions missing those three goals.
He didn't mention
the two beautiful ones he kicked. He mentioned the three he missed.
Yeah.
Right, so you know it's already in his head. So then, what happens? He takes marks in the West Coast game, and misses the goals multiple times. Yep. So then, come the North Melbourne game, he's missing all these marks. But why do you think he's missing the marks? So he doesn't have to go for goal.
He's
sabotaging himself.
Self-sabotage. Yeah.
Called self-sabotage. So I just want to explain to people how the psyche works. Now I'm not defending him to the point where he needs to work on that. And I apologise to, thank you for correcting me, he is 25, not 22, but he's still young, right?
Position players take longer to develop too.
And so he needs to work on that part of his confidence, but he's got the best mentor there for it. He's got Peter Wright, who went through similar things, so he needs to lean on Peter, and he needs to pick his brain, and he needs to be next to Peter and asking him how to overcome this. But I just want people to understand that that's how it works. He was dropping marks. He was clunking those marks against Stephen May from Melbourne. He was clunking them all over the place.
He was.
For the first 10 rounds, he was clunking them. So it's an anomaly. It's not the rule for him.
So just while we're on the couch, on Fiona's couch, this is a new segment called Fiona's Couch. Is he better
yep.
to almost avoid a little bit by coming up the ground,
absolutely,
be further away from goal, but get his marking confidence back.
Absolutely.
And then hope that translates to when he's taking marks deep.
Absolutely.
Or is he better to play deep and address those fears head on and try and kick the goal?
The former, because he was responsible for the Stringer goal. He kicked that beautiful laser-like kick to Stringer, who then kicked the goal. He kicked a beautiful kick after Zirk got punched in the back line. And then, granted, he didn't earn it, but he got it and then kicked it to Menzies. So and Menzies then kicked the goal. So he's passing off beautifully. His field kicking is still good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's the Danaher thing, isn't it? His field kicking is always fantastic.
Well, no, because yes. But you're right. Get him up the ground. Let him kick to Peter Wright from the ruck or from up the ground. Let him just get his hands on the footy and just step away from the danger zone as he sees it. And maybe if the footy gods can align and give him a nice easy one in the goal square, take a mark or get a free kick in the goal square, and you just get that monkey off the back, because he has not kicked a goal since missing those three at Richmond, not one goal. So if the footy gods could just do that and just get that monkey off the back, that would be fab too. But yes, you're right. I think the former would be good for him. Just get him up the ground.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's
Fiona's couch. That's a great little segment. And every week we'll just bring up a player who looks like they're in their heads a bit. Like, I reckon Hine gets in his head a bit too.
Yeah.
But that's for another week.
He had a crisis of identity.
Yeah, which is, again, I could pull that apart right now if we had another hour. Well, that's for another Fiona's
podcast. We'll save it. All right. Well, on that note, feel free, by the way, if you have some... You have some issues. Maybe you've got a mother complex.
Yes.
Whatever it is, feel free to write in to the podcast.
Yep.
Just tweet me, direct message me, and put your questions to Fiona's couch, and we'll address them.
That's great. Yep, I will address if you think a player if a player or yourself is having a conundrum, if you think they're in their heads and you need me to pull it apart and tell you exactly what's going on so you can understand it a bit better, or in your life someone's being a real you-know-what and you just don't get it, you just DM the solution, Twitty, on Twitter, and we'll fix it. I tell you what, it's not just footy here, solving the life's problems and making your money along the way.
There you go. All right, well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out the podcast. We'll be... probably Monday, I'm presuming, or maybe Tuesday.
When's the podcast going to be recording?
And also, we're fixing to probably have the OG Winsock Crew podcast in a couple of weeks. So it'll be DJ and the Sweep back.
Wow.
Back from their misadventures. So a lot to look forward to. Also, by the way, I did say if we beat Carlton, I'll do live overrated blues.
Perfect.
So, yeah. Anyway, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened, and go Bombers.
Catch ya.